A lot of questions, right, in our world, in our lives. We're going to handle one of those today. Before we do, would you help me welcome all of our locations that are joining with us today? My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Church. I'm glad you're there. We are one church, multiple locations, and we're glad you're with us today. Different location, Illinois as well as Tennessee. In fact, I was at our Illinois location this past week and got to celebrate Tuesday night with an outreach to Sparta, Illinois. Over 80 people there, and it's only been going 10 weeks. Think about that. So a lot of great things are happening there. And also preached on Wednesday night at the Craneville campus. So guys, good to see you today. I'm seeing you, you don't know it. But anyway, we're glad you're there in all of our other campuses as well. And we're glad you're with us. Hey, Love and Truth Church is about changing lives to change our world. And we do that each week by encouraging people. We believe God's called us to encourage people to help them engage in their purpose and to encounter His presence. And so we believe today that those things are going to happen in your world and in your life because you're with us today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your blessings. I thank you for your grace and the benefits that you have given to each and every one of us. And so today, as we look at another question of why, we just pray you'd prepare our hearts to receive what you want to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, right? Hey, listen, we're going to talk about why generosity today. Why should Christians be concerned about generosity? Well, I think it's at the very core and at the very root of everything that Christians are is generosity. The book of Proverbs says this in the 11th chapter, the 25th verse. It says, a generous person will prosper. Now, how many of you want to prosper? Would you hold your hand up? Come on, campuses. I think, now we're not just talking about money. We're talking about every aspect of life. We want to prosper. And it says, whoever refreshes others will also be refreshed. Jesus was the most generous person that's ever lived. And he showed that to us in his daily life, as well as giving his life so that you and I could be saved. And so we're called to emulate that. We're called to live that out. And he is the pattern that we live from in our lives. I want to read you a couple of verses of scripture out of the last book of the Old Testament. And I want to talk to us about how that we live out generosity as believers. The book of Malachi, the third chapter, verse 10 and 11 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me or test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, how many of you are ready for that? Right? Not room enough to receive it. And he goes on to say, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, anytime a pastor reads that passage, people kind of get tense. So it's going to be one of those services. I promise it's not. It's going to be good, and you can just relax. In fact, just look at your neighbor and say, chill. All right, it's going to be all right. You're going to make it. You're going to learn something. You're going to gain some knowledge. And the Bible says that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, right? So you're going to gain some knowledge today. It's going to help you to live out what it is that God's called you to do. The whole aspect of tithing, the word tithe, and that's not a word we hear very often outside of church. The word tithe simply means a tenth. All right. Really, you could translate anything that you see tithe. You could just say tenth or 10% is what it's talking about. So when the Word of God says bring all the tithe, bring all the 10% into the storehouse. Now, people say, well, you got to understand, Pastor, tithing is about the Old Testament law. Tithing is about legalism. I've been set free. I'm under a new covenant. And I understand all those things. But here's what I want to say to you. Tithing is not about the law. Tithing is not about legalism. Tithing is about covenant. All right? above everything else, tithing is a covenantal scripture that God talks, or scriptures that God talks to us about what he wants to do in our lives and for our lives. See, when you understand covenant, God made covenant with man at the very beginning with Adam and Eve and all the way through scripture. In fact, there are 7 to 9, it's according to who you read, 7 to 9 distinct covenants, large covenants that God made either with the children of Israel or he made with humanity at large. Even in the New Testament is a covenant that God makes with us. And covenant just means that you're entering into an agreement with someone, and what they're saying is, if you'll do this, I'll do this. All right? Now, how many of you would like to have God to enter into a covenant with you? Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I want God on my side. Amen? And so one of the ways that we do that is through the covenant of tithing. Now, let me show you real quickly that it's about covenant. The Word of God lets us know that Abel and Cain, or Cain and Abel, brought to God at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 4, after Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden, they have two sons, and those sons bring God an offering, a sacrifice. But what we find is, the Scripture says, that Abel brought the firstborn, and it says, and Cain brought some of the fruit of the ground. It doesn't say he brought the first. People have said, well, that scripture is about a blood sacrifice. It is not. That scripture is about first fruits. That's why God said to Cain, he said, you can do good, but if you don't do good, sin lies at the door. In other words, you can go bring it, but bring me the first part. Bring me the first fruits in my life. The Word of God says that Abraham lived 400 years before God ever gave the law to Moses and the children of Israel. And the scripture there says that Abraham paid tithe to a priest named Melchizedek. So what we're finding is that tithing was at the very beginning of time. We find it in Abraham's life, and then we find it with Jacob. Jacob, who's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all right? Jacob tithes to the Lord and says, Lord, if you will bless me, I'm going to give you tithe, and I'm going to do all that. People say, well, Pastor, that's all Old Testament. Well, I'm glad you said that. Here's what Jesus said about it. How many of you can believe Jesus? Right? Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you tithe on all your spices, you tithe on all these things in your house. And here's what Jesus said. He said, this you ought to do. And he said, but don't leave the weightier matters undone. In other words, what Jesus is saying, listen, lock in this low-level covenantal relationship, and you'll be blown away by everything else that I'll do in your life. The book of Hebrews, which is years later, says this. It says that here on earth, men pay tithe, but then they are received by God in heaven. So here's what I would say to you. I've said this a couple of times here over the past few months to our North Campus, so I'm going to say it to everybody today. You can make God the senior partner of your life for 10 cents. Now, we'll wait on you. You're worth it. For a dime, God can become your senior partner. 10 cents, 10%, right off the top, and then God says, here's what I'll do. In fact, do you realize in that passage I read to you that when God said this, he said, test me or try me in this that I won't pour you out a blessing. Go study scripture. This is the only place that God ever says to test him or to try him. In fact, everywhere else God says, you better not test me. You better not try me, but in tithing, he says, test me if I won't do some things on your behalf. Now, I want to give you 5 things today that comes about as a result of your entering into a covenant with God and saying, God, for this purpose in my life, I am making you first priority. See, watch, we go to church on Sunday. Why do we go to church on Sunday? We go to church on Sunday because it is the first day of the week. And we go on Sunday because what we're saying is that we are consecrated. We don't go on the last day of the week. We go on the first day of the week because we are consecrating everything else that's going to happen this week to God. When I bring my tithe, that first 10%, now tithing is not after you paid everybody else. Hallelujah. Because how many of you found out if you pay everybody else, there's not much left? right? Tithing is that first 10%. And what I'm doing is, when I am obedient in that, then I'm saying, God, I am consecrating everything else in my life. All my finances now are consecrated to you, that you will begin to bless me in ways. And look in verse 10. Let's get into this. He says, if you'll do this, he said, see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing. How many of you are ready to see some blessings come your life, right? So, some benefits, some things beginning to happen. Well, how does that happen? Well, how many of you know God's not pouring out, you know, new Mercedes, right? I mean, you don't have to go out today and say, well, let's look up in the sky. Here comes a new one. Right? But that's kind of our mindset. Well, God's going to pour it out. No. The New Testament says it this way. It says, give, and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now read the rest of it. Shall men give unto you? God says that if you learn the principle of sowing and reaping, as you do that, it's going to come in your life. Now, here's the first principle that comes from that, is that God says, I'll open the windows of heaven. In other words, I will give you spiritual insight. Wouldn't you love to have spiritual insight about everything that's going on in your life? Lord, I want spiritual insight in my life. I want the windows of heaven open. Now, the primary purpose for windows is to see something, right? How many of you, somebody's knocked on your door and you went and looked out the window to see who it was, right? To make sure you wanted to, am I the only one that does that? Look out and see, I don't know that car. I'm not opening the door. I'm not even going like I'm. Come on, you know somebody's knocked on your door and you pretended you weren't home before, right? I don't know them. I don't. So there's that. Windows are for seeing things around us. The Word of God says, and I've got to do this quick. Genesis chapter 14 is that whole aspect there where Abraham tithes to Melchizedek. And then Genesis chapter 15 says, after these things, after what things? After he tithed, it says, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, a seeing, saying, do not be afraid, I am your shield, an exceedingly great reward. And it's at that point that God begins to tell Abram, you're going to bless all the nations of the world. Your children are going to be like the stars of the sky. They're going to be like the sand of the sea. God begins to tell him that and begins to give him spiritual insight once he does. In other words, God says to Abraham, I'm going to show you what the future would be. Wouldn't you love to know what it's going to be a year from now? Amen. Would you not like to know? I don't. I would. Maybe nobody else does. I would like to know what's going to happen in the future. And God says, I can give you spiritual insight that passes this world's understanding. Jacob, the Bible says, flees for his life. He just has the clothes on his back, but he's got the blessing, God's blessings on him. In fact, I'm going to start a series next week called Pray Big, and we're going to be talking about the blessing, so don't miss that, all right? And the blessing is not things. The blessing, I'm not going there because that'll mess it up. Just come, all right? So Jacob says, God, if you will bless me, if you'll put a blessing on me, he said, here's what I'll do. He says, I will tithe. I'll give you 10% of everything that you have for me. And this is that where what was called the gate of heaven. All night long, Jacob had seen angels coming, ascending and descending on a ladder from heaven. And he gets up and he says, this is holy ground. This is Bethel. This is the house of God. And he makes a covenant with God. And the Bible says that he goes and he works for the most crooked person ever. Okay, the scripture doesn't say it that way, but it says Laban changed his wages time after time after time. Laban was crooked. Laban was messed up, and yet God blessed Jacob at such a level. In fact, if you'll study it, in fact, I'd love for you to go to read about the story about the livestock when they separated the livestock, the purebred from the spotted and the speckled, and what God did in the insight. I'm not going to tell you what it was, the insight that God gave Jacob, and all of a sudden Jacob gets so prosperous, he left with nothing, and he came back and he had so much that he had to split his group up because there was too many of them, and they had to come back in two different segments to get there when they go back home. That's what happens when you come to God and say, God, I'm going to make a covenant with you to do what I can do, what your word tells me to do. The scripture says this, that the Lord is going to pour us out a blessing. What happens here is that the power of the tithe opens your eyes so you know what to do on earth. All right? How many of you know when you get to heaven, you won't need anything? You didn't know that. Let me help you. When you get to heaven, you won't need anything. You won't need money. You won't need houses. You won't need food. You will need nothing. Where do you need those things? Here on earth, right? You need those things now. Now, God says, I want to give you insight. I want to give you spiritual insight. Years ago, I was talking to a businessman from Nashville, and he was very, very successful. I had known him for a long time, and I was talking to him one day, and he said, Eddie, he said, you want to know how I got rich? My answer was yes. Let me give you some insight. Anybody who's rich ask you if you want to know how they got rich, your answer is yes. Yes. And he was doing all kinds of, he said, but here's how I made my money. He said, I made my money in the stock market. I said, well, great. Tell me how to do it. He said, here's how you do it. He said, before you buy anything in the stock market, you ask God if you should buy it. And he said, if you don't get a yes, don't buy it. And he said, I have become a multi-millionaire just by doing that. Think about this for a minute. When Walmart stock came out, don't you wish you had had spiritual insight to buy it at 50-something cents a share? When Steve Jobs formed this funky little company called Apple, don't you wish you had bought some stock at a little bit over a dollar? Last time I looked, it was selling for over $100 a share. Why are y'all looking at me? Why are you? That's spiritual insight. God can speak those things to you. So we need to be asking God where to go and how to use those aspects of our finances. The scripture there says that he will pour you out a blessing. Now that word has many connotations. I'll talk about it a little bit more next week when we begin Pray Big. But one of the things that it means, the word blessing there means to finish something. How many of you have started some things and you didn't finish? God forgive all the liars in the house. All right? Come on, you know you got three projects at home right now that you haven't finished, all right? The Bible says this about God, that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So here's the deal. He doesn't just begin something, he completes it. He's going to put a blessing on your life that you can complete, that you can move in to the blessings that he had. He said, the conclusion of sorrow is joy. The conclusion or the finish of mourning is dancing, scripture says. The conclusion or the finishing of debt is prosperity. See, tithers are people who finish. I want to be a finisher. I want to be a person who doesn't just begin well, but I want to finish well as well. I want to be that kind of person who lives that out. The second thing that we find out about being a tither, being in this covenant, the Lord says this. He says, I will pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, I used to read that scripture, and that scripture bothered me. Do any scriptures bother you? You know that scripture like, turn the other cheek? Does that one bother you? It bothers me. I don't want to turn the other cheek. Smack me, I want to smack you back. I'll pray about it, but especially if you're smaller than I am, I sure want to smack you, all right? Pour me out a blessing that I can't contain. And I'd read that and I'd go, you know, when Sherry and I went to Adamsville, I made $125 a week. I could contain every bit of that. I don't ever want to go back to that. I contained it. Through the years, I've seen that salary grow to now. It's much more than that. None of your business. And I would read that scripture. I go, God, I'm containing it. You're going to pour me out a blessing I can't contain. I can't receive. I can't have it. Lord, what's going on here? How does that work? Because I don't know about you. I think I could contain $1 million a week. $52 million a year. I mean, if all these ball players can contain it, surely I could contain it for Jesus. Right? I mean, think about it. Lord, I can wrap my arms around it. I don't know what I'll do with it all, but I'll figure it out. And so I kept looking at that, and I thought, wait a minute, there's got to be more to it than that. And here's what I think it means. I think it's talking about future generations. That passage is talking about future generations. Let me explain it to you, what I mean there. See, God is never wasteful. Do you know that? God's not going to give you more than you can use. He's not a wasteful God. He's a generous God, but he's not wasteful. He always gives us more than we need, but he gives us that so that we can be a blessing to others. So when it says, I can't receive it, I got to think about that one day. If I can't receive it, then I don't have it. If I don't have it, I'm going to go real deep. Don't miss this. If I don't have it, I can't do anything with it. And if I can't do anything with it, it must mean I don't have it. You say, that's where you started. I know. But that's what we've got to understand. And when we begin to look at this, here's what the scripture says. I won't read the scripture, but I'll just give you the reference. Book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, talks about this. It says that even Levi, who now receives tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Now, wait a minute. Let's think about this for a minute. Levi's not born when Abraham paid tithes. In fact, Levi is the great, great, great grandson. And yet Scripture says that when Abraham paid tithes, Levi paid tithes. Uh-oh, wait a minute. All of a sudden, we begin to see that 4 generations later, people are still being blessed because of something that Abraham did. Now, here's what I want to tell you. If you're living a blessed life today, it's probably because not what you've done so much. It's probably because of what somebody's done before you. See, I know what my parents did. My parents were tithers, and I know what some of my grandparents were. They were tithers, and I know that, and because of that, I saw how they were blessed, and I want to just tell you, I'm blessed at a higher level than they were blessed. But not only am I blessed at a higher level than that, I've watched it go to my children, and my children are blessed. I had 2 children. In fact, one of them, my daughter, went to one of the most expensive colleges in America, and both of them, when they left college, did not owe a single dime to anybody because it was paid for because we had been that blessed. No college loans, didn't have to owe everybody and their dog. They were blessed. Why? Because we understood as a family that we want to keep this thing going. In fact, let me say this to you. Each generation will be more blessed if we don't break the cycle. I just want to help some of you today. If you don't even do it for yourself, do it for those who are coming after you. Do it for succeeding generations that are coming after you that need the blessings of God on their life. It happens because you are a tither. You are one who sows that way. See, the power of the tithe blesses the unborn. Those who have not even been born yet, those who are not even on this earth yet, Levi was blessed 4 generations before he ever showed up on this earth. You have the ability. The Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. One of the ways that you leave an inheritance, yes, you ought to do that now, but one of the ways you do that is by sowing into the kingdom of God, because as you sow, come on, does anybody get this today? As you sow into the kingdom of God, you reap a harvest back into your life. The third thing is, verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. The third thing that it does is that it protects your stuff. Anybody got any stuff? Come on, campuses. You got some stuff? I got some stuff. What about you guys way back there in the risers? Y'all got some stuff up there? You do. Come on, go ahead. You know you do. We've all got stuff. Now, I know right now you're afraid I'm going to get your stuff. I'm not after your stuff. I don't want your stuff because then I just have to take care of your stuff. I got enough stuff to take care of. But the Word of God says that God becomes a protector of your stuff. And when we begin to understand that, we begin to live at a different way. What happens is that God says, I will stand between you and the devourer. I will rebuke him in that way. The book of Proverbs says it this way. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit or with the tithe of all your increase. Here's what that word honor means, okay? That word honor means to you mark off a place for God to stand. Don't miss it. You mark when you bring, I told you earlier, you bring that 10%, that dime. When you bring that, what you're doing is you're giving God a place in your life to stand. You're saying, God, come on and be involved in my family. Be involved in our finances. Be involved in every aspect of what we are going to do. Tithe stops the process of destruction. Tithe keeps the enemy at bay. If the enemy shows up and he sees you, he's not real impressed. Uh-oh. Because he just looks at you and goes, okay. But if he sees greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, if he sees God standing there, he says, I think I'll go somewhere else. I think I'll keep moving. I think I'll just move on down. See, the children of Israel, watch this. The children of Israel were in disobedience for 40 years in the wilderness, and yet God gave them clothes, he gave them food, he gave them air conditioning during the day and a heater by night. He took care of them because of a covenant that he had entered into them with. Now, if God did that for disobedience, what would he do for obedience? Amen. And so when you understand that, you begin to live it a different way. The next part of verse 11 there says, so that he will not be able to destroy the fruit of your ground. That word ground there, when you look up the word Adam means taken from the ground. So here's what God is saying to us. God says, I'm going to guard your heart. How many of you know that the scripture says that out of your heart flow the issues of life? Let me just tell you, can I just say something to you? Just listen, everybody look up here, all of you watch me, all right, get it? You don't have a sin problem, you got a heart problem. All right, I'll say that again. That was so good, I should have got more amens. You don't have a sin problem, you have a heart problem. You have a ground problem. Because if the ground is right, you're going to be all right. So when you begin to understand that, then the ground, this whole aspect here of the ground is so important that we need to see that. Mark talks about the parable of the sower, where the sower goes forth and he sows seed, right? And the disciples came to him and they said, Lord, what does that even mean? And he said, well, the seed is the word of God, right? Now, here's what you got to get. The seed is incorruptible. Do you believe that? Seed is incorruptible. The seed of the word of God is incorruptible. In other words, the seed is good. What's not good? My heart. My ground. You don't believe it? He said some falls on stony ground, some falls on wayside. He goes through this whole thing, and then he says some falls on good ground. Here's what I want you to get. And let's see how honest we're going to be. How many of you still struggle with some heart issues? I'm not talking about physical heart. You still struggle. Good. All right. I'm glad to see you being honest. I didn't want to start preaching about lying. We have a heart, but here's the deal. There's wrong stuff growing inside me. Now, here's what I do. I don't know. This is not you. This is me. Here's what I do. I keep mowing it down. I get John Deere out and we run across the weeds and we cut them down. You okay? But the roots are still there. The root is still inside of me. And so a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, it's back up. What I need is for the ground to be made right. See, here's what I would tell you. I don't get tempted in areas that there's no root in my life. if I see, I've never had an alcohol problem, okay? Never been an issue with me. I don't drink. I've tried it a few times 100 years ago. Don't care anything about it, all right? So I've never had that issue. So I could go with you anywhere, and I'm not going to get drunk, and it's not going to bother me, whatever. But some of you have that issue, and you keep mowing it down, but it keeps coming back up. But if God comes in and pulls it out, you won't struggle with it ever again. Because now the ground is this man. Somebody needs to get this. I know I'm talking about tithing, but you need to get this. When God takes it out, then I'm not tempted by it anymore. Does that make sense? And so what we need is, we don't need another case of, hey, let's mow the yard. What we need is, Lord, prepare the ground of our heart. And when God takes care of the ground, the Bible says it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold return. The Bible talks about that out of the issues of our words that we speak, words of faith, words of health, words of power, words of finances, we need to be speaking those. We need those to come out from us, and we need to be careful about the other things that we keep saying. Amen? Because your words are seed. Your words are power. So when you say, well, and you know, we're just always busted and we're always broke and we never have anything, guess what? You just sowed some seeds in the ground of your heart that's going to produce poverty. Right. Or you start saying, you know what, I'm blessed. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the lender and not the borrower. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. Whatever I set my hand to do, it shall prosper. You start saying things like that, and all of a sudden the seed begins to be sown in the good ground, and God says, I can protect that kind of word. I can begin to let that produce 30, 60, and 100-fold return in your life as you speak that, as you give that, as you bring it forth. The fifth thing is this. You have to understand God's timing. All right? God's timing. Look at the latter part of verse 11 says, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. How many of you know you don't plant one day and reap the next? I mean, you do in fairy tales, but not really. All right? You really don't. You see, it's not our timing. It's not, you know, how many of you have ever felt like the Lord spoke to you? You don't have to raise your hand on this one. Or are you, you know, maybe you got a word from somebody or whatever, and they said soon. This is going to happen soon. Let me help you. Your soon and God's soon are not the same. The scripture says Jesus is coming soon. That was written 2,000 years ago. His soon and your soon are not the same. It's in His timing. It's up to Him how it comes to pass. Now, if He tells you it's going to happen, hang on. I've got things in my life that I've been believing and confessing for 10, 15, some of them 20 years that I still haven't seen that I know are going to come to pass before I die. So I can't die today because I haven't seen everything come to pass that I know that God said was going to come to pass. So I'm hanging on. I'm saying, come on, Jesus. You said these things are going to pass. I always like having a few things out there. Y'all will get that in a minute. I ain't got time for that. See, if God says it's yours in God's timing. So just chill. Just relax. Let God do what God does. Over and over again, the Bible talks about in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God does things. Now, here's what I want to say to you. If there's one truth in Scripture that is so lacking in the church today, this is the truth. National statistics tell us that only about 20% of Christians actually tithe. Now, think about that. You say, well, that's not the bit. That's no big deal. You know, I drop a little bit in the bucket when I can. Well, we thank God for that. But what if you began to enter into a covenant with God? What if you began to be obedient, not just in one thing, but in every aspect of your life? Here's what I would tell you. Doesn't matter what church it is, if every person in that church would tithe, there would never be a need in that church that that church could not meet. It wouldn't matter. If all of a sudden somebody's house burned down, you'd be able to build them a new house. Uh-oh. Because there would be money in the house. If all of a sudden somebody was going through a season of their life and they didn't have a job and they couldn't work, you could give them what they needed during that season if everybody in the church. See, what we've done, can I just say this? We have released what God told us to do. He said to take care of widows and orphans, and what we've done is we've given that to the world and we've given that to the government, and boy, aren't they doing a great job with it. See, God told us to do those things, but we can't do those things if believers don't enter in to the covenant. You say, well, I don't think it's that big a deal. Well, let me give you one story out of the scripture. God told the Israelites, he said, when you go into the promised land, he says, Jericho, the city of Jericho, is a first fruits unto me. It's a tithe unto me. And he said, don't touch anything in it. Most of you know the scripture. The word of God says they went in, they destroyed the town, but they said there was one man, a man named Achan, who took a Babylonian garment, some silver, and some gold. And he hid it. He didn't tell anybody. The next day, they go out to battle. And because of one man's disobedience, 30-something men lost their lives because of one man's disobedience, and they were defeated soundly because disobedience of one man. Can I just say this to you? I believe in corporate blessing. Y'all okay? This is not, I'm trying to encourage you. Here's what I believe. I believe the signs, the wonders, and the miracles we keep talking about, God would begin to pour them out if we would come into a covenant relationship with him and make him number one. What would God begin to do if a church said, we trust your word, we believe in you? Let me say this about tithing. Tithing is not a money issue. It's about your trust. It's about your heart. Who do you believe provides for you? Do you believe that your paycheck, do you believe you provide for yourself? Do you believe the company you work for provides for you? Or do you really believe that God is your source? If you believe God is your source, Pastor, I just can't. I can't. I don't know how. Well, first of all, get a budget. Learn how to live. Go to Dave Ramsey. Find somebody who can get your world straight. But get started, because I promise you. I had somebody come to me after first service and said, Pastor, let me just share with you. They said, we've been tithers for years and years. And they said, I cannot tell you how many times that I don't know how God did it, I don't know where it came from, and I don't know how it took place, but without a doubt, God showed up every time for us. And they said, it doesn't mean we didn't go through some tough times, but it meant that God, when we needed something, God showed up on our behalf. If you want to live in a covenant relationship that brings all of these things into your life, it starts by being a tither. It starts by being a person who says, I'm going to make a commitment to God to give him first place. Because here's what I want to tell you, and I'm done. The New Testament talks more about money than it does about heaven and hell combined. Jesus spent more time talking about riches and money and finances than he ever did about going to heaven or going to hell. Why? Because he knew that the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Scripture does not say money is evil. It says, when I love it, And the quickest way to show God that you don't love your money is by making Him first priority. In fact, in every area of our life, the way that I prove to God, God, you're number one, is by making Him a priority. When I pray for my food, I pray for my food because I'm saying, God, thank you that you gave me this food. You're the priority of my life. When I pray before I go to bed, because I'm saying, God, you're the priority. Why did I ask Jesus to come into my life? Because I'm saying, God, I want you to be the priority of my life. And that's what God wants. He says, if you'll make me your partner, He said, I'll bring about blessings that will blow your mind. Amen.